continuing where we left off on the halachas of Purim, I'd like to discuss a bit Matanas of Yonim, which the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Megillah is more significant than the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. L'sameach levaniyim u'umlolim, that one should try to gladden the hearts of those that are unfortunately suffering from either socioeconomic issues or other kind of issues. The Mishnah Berurah quotes here in Siman Tav Reish Tzadik Daled, Sifkat Beis, quotes a ritva that even two prutos are sufficient to fulfill the mitzvah of Matanas of Yonim. Shavu prutah is considered to be a matana, but not less than that. The Shari Tshuva here cites that Yesh Omrim, he says, Shetzarach Liten Shir Sheikne Gimel Beitz of Ochel, three eggs of Ochel. But in general, the Poskim of today have noted that one should try to give Matanas of Yonim the Shir, which is a Chashav Asuda. And here in Eretz Yisrael, they're talking about between 20 and 50 shekel, whatever the comparable amount would be in Chutz Aretz. In the name of Hagoyna Moshe Feinstein Tzatzal, I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Nissim Alpert, that he said that according to Rav Moshe, that the shear would be the amount of money they would take to purchase essentially a small Suda, which is a roll together with coffee. And undoubtedly, that was probably then, but today it would seem that it would be, in terms of the amount that has to be given, should be a bit more substantive, the amount that one should give. In terms of Matanas of Yonim, the post can talk a lot about whether one can be yotzei with a check, by giving a check to an Evyon. And it would seem that Halacha Lamai said that if the bank is open at Purim and one can cash the check, then one should be able to do so. But if I'm not mistaken, here in Eretz Yisrael, that's not the case. And the banks are not open. And so if one would not be able to cash the check, Lefiyan Yusdaiti, it would not be called Kesem. I'm not discussing now the whole issue in general of what the status of a check is al pi halacha, but simply in terms of Matanas of Yonim. Matanas of Yonim, also, the issue is, and this is very often discussed again by many, many poskim, that if a poor person receives the money on Purim, of course, one is Yotze, and people often mail contributions. And assuming that the poor person, the Evyon, will receive it on Purim, that unquestionably, that is the key of HaMitzvah of the day, that one should receive the Matanas Evyon on Purim. One can donate money to an organization. Baruch Hashem, there's no shortage of organizations, both here and in Chutz Aretz, that deal with the issue. As long as they distribute the money to the poor on Purim, you can fulfill the mitzvah that way. All of us are obligated to give Matanas Evyonim, namely men or women. Both men and women are obligated to Matanas Evyonim. That's written clearly in Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham says that he doesn't see people who are medakteg regarding this matter because the rule applies only to a widow, to a woman who doesn't have a husband. But the married woman can fulfill her obligation by having her husband distribute it on her behalf. But once you try to be machmir, and either a husband will tell his wife, I'm giving Matanas Evyonim on your behalf, or she gives the money, distributes it to Evyonim, or gives the money to a shliach to be zocha for her Matanas Evyonim, etc. In terms of what one has to give, as I said, you can fulfill the mitzvah either by giving the poor either food or by giving them money, but certainly it should be giving something that will enhance the celebration of Purim. That is the ideal of Matanas Evyonim. And dafka has to be, as I indicated, during the day. And then the question is what it qualifies, who's considered to be an Evyon. There are distinctions in halacha between an Ani and an Evyon, unquestionably. The Mishnah writes in Masachas Peyot, a famous Mishnah, that someone who owns less than Masayim Zuz qualifies to collect most of the Matnas Aniyim that are given to the poor, including Maaser Ani, which is obviously directly reserved for individuals who are poor, or for that matter, Peya, etc. What exactly is the modern equivalent of 200 Zuz? So most Poskim say the amount that it would take for a person to pay for fundamental expenses in the course of the year. And assuming one has that, then one will not consider it to be but certainly there is unquestionably, as I said, a stress on giving Matanas Evyonim and versus Shalachmanas. It's clear that this is more significant. Now, in terms of is it better to give a lot to a few poor people or a little to each, there's a very famous Rambam in Pirsha Mishnais and Avos, the Rambam writes on the Mishnah HaKolofi Rav HaMaseh that in general, giving tzedakah is not only designed to assist, to enhance the individual who is in need, but at the same time, and perhaps even more significantly, is to turn the donor into a philanthropist, essentially to teach the donor philanthropic kibunim, namely that one should become a giver, one should become someone who is sensitive to other people's sensibilities. There's a Bach. The Bach says if someone has 100 golden coins to distribute from Matanos of Yonim, he should distribute one coin to each of 100 poor people rather than give it to one individual because it makes more people happy. And that is not in sync, obviously, with the Rambam that I just cited. I heard in the name of Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal, it's better to give two large gifts that will make two aniyim very happy that rather than give small gifts that are insufficient to make the recipients happy. And it seems to me these two Piskei Halach are not necessarily in conflict one with the other, but rather they complement each other. The mitzvah matanos yevyonim is to make as many poor people happy as possible. So usually if you receive a small gift, it doesn't necessarily bring a smile on a poor man's face, although you may fulfill the minimal requirements. However, both the Bach's golden coin and Rabbi Yashiv's large matana accomplish that the poor person becomes happy. So we're trying to our best to go ahead and enhance the individual who is in Evyon to the extent that we possibly can. I should mention as well that the money that I give for Matanos Yevyonim should not come from Maisek Sofim, from Maisek funds, just like you shouldn't spend Maisek money on other mitzvahs. And this is also a very important halacha that one has to be cognizant of. And in general, as I said, when one gives Matanos Yevyonim, so we have the principle which applies on Purim, namely, Kol HaPoshe Yad Nosnim Lo, that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch and Tefrei Sadik Dalid. And even young children who are poshe yad, this is not an uncommon thing on Purim to see young children. But as I said, matanos yevyonim for most meiser is not considered to be appropriate. The Mishnah Berurah writes this in Tefrei Sadik Dalid Sivkot and Gimel here. The two matanos should be yours, mishalo, below mishal meiser. In general, we have a principle in halacha called davar shebechova, ein abo mimos meiser. Anything which one is obligated to do should not come from the most of meiser. And therefore, one should certainly try to max out on this mitzvah matanos yevyonim to the extent that one can. Let's turn a bit and discuss
Mr. Tamer, we're talking about the minimum mitzvah to be yaitzah. Once you yaitzah the mitzvah, the rest could come from meiser.
But then you're not giving matanos yevyonim.
Right. I'm saying. If you, also, rather than explain, maybe I missed it, what's the difference between non and evyon? Evyon is a lower...
The Lashon of Rashi in Chumash, when he speaks of Evyon, Rashi says, To'ev lakol. That's right. The Lashon of Evyon, someone who's To'ev lakol. But the truth of the matter is, the Gemara has in Bava Metzia, I think it's on Kuf Yud Aleph, but I could be mistaken, you have to check that out, that there is a distinction between an Ani and an Evyon. Rashi says that an Evyon is clearly suffering more than an Ani. An Evyon is Milashon, as I said, To'ev lakol. And he simply doesn't have the ability to acquire that which his nefesh has a tava for. The shoresh of Aleph Vav Hei is found in Evyon. And again, an oni generally is misbayish. He's embarrassed to go ahead and request. That's why the Gemara says that in Bava Metzia, but the oni kodem le'evyon. And again, the gabi this halacha, the gabi the issue of schar sochir, who you give first. But the Aruch HaShulchan already points out, he brings actually poskim and... He also cites some psukim in Parshas Re'eh, because there the Torah uses the lashon ki yeh b'cha evyon me'achad achecha be'achad sharecha be'atzcha she'Hashem alokecha noisei loch loisei amitz ezyotcham me'achicha ha'evyon. So the Torah apparently indicates there in the context of the mitzvah tzedakah seems to all that seems to be lumped together. And even though we hear we speak about matanos yevyonim, it's a chiddush that lo miboy ani sheish lo busha. So when it comes to schar sochir, the ani takes precedence. But even in evyon, you don't say. Even though he himself is a mavakish, kolshkin anishim is bayish mavakish, and you are mocked him to give him, that's certainly a greater mitzvah. But in general, evyon is that which is someone who is really in greater need than an ani. And there are those who question, b'chlal, do we have evyonim today? I mean, what's happening here in Eretz Yisrael, and I imagine it happens in Chutz Eretz as well, that essentially the mitzvah is to give to those who don't have basics. They're missing tzrochim hechrechiim lepanosat beisom. And in general, we know that there's a practice of many yeshiva bachim that go around, but they call tat. and they're collecting for the yeshivas. And the question is whether one fulfills the mitzvah matan sev yonim by giving to them. That's a very problematic matter. Not so simple that one fulfills the mitzvah matan sev yonim, because probably most of them have their fundamental basic needs. I saw that's what the Stipler writes in Masechta Sukkah. He points out that Talmidei Yeshiva, he says, Kolin yonem misudarim kol atzorach adei yeshiva adei orim shalom. So this is a question that needs to be explored. It doesn't mean there's no mitzvah of giving the tatim. One should support Talmud Torah and one should support Torah institutions. That's not a problem. That's a separate halacha. But it has nothing to do with matan sev yonim. Let's turn a little bit to Sudas Purim, where the Rama writes that once you learn a little bit of Torah before he begins a suda, he quotes a smach, la'yudim ha'yisarev v'simcha, v'sasim v'kod, the Gemara says in Megillah, that orazu Torah. It's amazing the Rambam has to write that. Now, Soloveitchik Zatzal, a number of times in the Shiurim, used to say over the following. He said the Vilna Gaon was involved in the course of the day in eating and drinking, and suddenly it was Bekayim Ad Lo Yoda. And the moment that Shkia arrived on the scene, he put the bottle down and then went back to learning, Kilo, nothing happened. I guess that itself is one of the Meisim of the Vilna Gaon. Only he could do something like that. But whatever the case is, there's certainly an obligation to learn Torah, and there are those who contend, the Dr. Moshe so writes that a person should learn Torah before the Suda. There shouldn't be any Kilkul B'Suda. And the question is, why Dafka Sudas Purim requires this kind of protection of Torah? So they quote the from the Ari HaKadosh, Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippurim. There's an analogy between Yom Kippur and Purim. And Yom Kippur, we find the Gemara says in Yuma, it's quoted by the Rambam, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that there's a Takana Vida before the Suda Maasekes, and even though we're not choshish for this during the rest of the year, since Vidu is certainly an Indian Golem Ma'od, to the Ha'ai Madrego, we're afraid the sun will be Mekadreg. So here also, there's a chshash, the sun will be Mekadreg, and therefore there's a need for Hagona. And that's the analogy between Yom Kippur and Purim as far as this issue of the Suda is concerned. The Suda's Purim in general, of course, is one that should be done with great festivity, with great joy. There should be a Mishnah B'Simcha, unquestionably. And it should be, someone should obviously be involved in Halav Odah, Tashem is Barach. That's the reason why we eat things on Bevilim with Dei Simcha. And certainly Shtiyas Yayin, certainly from the Rambam, it's clear that Shtiyas Yayin, the object of Shtiyas Yayin is to enhance the Seudah. The Rambam actually includes the mitzvah of drinking wine. Ad Lo Yada, in the context actually of the Seudah of Purim. The Rambam says that the meaning is to make the Seudah Purim after Minchat. This year, because of Purim Shechalios Be'er Shabbos, so obviously the situation is going to be somewhat different. And unquestionably, we start the Suda before Chatzos. We mentioned already that the Ashkenazim person don't subscribe to the principle of Paris Mapu Mekadosh. They're opposed to it completely. There is a Meiri in Ksuvas Dav Zayin, also the Meiri in Psochim and Avi Psochim, who mentions that's what he did. But Rov, Doli HaPoskim, that I'm aware of, are opposed to the practice of Paris Mapu Mekadosh because of Yushalmi, quoted by the Rif. Yushalmi clearly indicates that the two Seudos, namely that of Shabbos and that of Purim, are remarkably different from each other. The Seud of Purim is the Seud of the Adam, Takonis Mordechai V'Esther, and Sanhedrin, and the Seud of Shabbos is B'dei Shamayim, and therefore we should not mix the two Seudos in also mitzvahs, Chavilos, Chavilos. So this year we're not necessarily going to make the Seud before, in effect, after we daven Mincha, we're going to do it actually before Mincha. And again, the reason why we don't do it early in the morning, many have been practiced to do it early in the morning. That's my practice. I do the Seudas Purim right away early in the morning. The Shulah Kodesh, I hear the Megillah, and then I'm a Kayim, Zvizim Makdim, the Mitzvahs, with Mishach Manas, Matanas Rev Yonim, and then I have the, if you will, you want to call it the main Suda with my family later on. There's a question whether Suda's Purim requires pas, whether it needs bread. Must one say Hamotzi? The Magad Avraham actually says we don't find a Chiv to eat pas on Purim. However, the Taz in Tavrei Sadi Gimel, Sivkan Beis, said there is a Chiv of a pas on Purim. It says in Mishnah V'Simcha, and the Yachar Shulchan writes that one is not Yotzei without lechem, similar to Shabbos and Yom Tov. And in general, he says, "Ein mishteh below lechem." It's supposed to be mishteh v'simcha. Without lechem, that's not possible. The nafkamina would be, of course, is v'yal anisa v'bechas hamozem. If there's a chiyav to eat pasta, then of course you have to go ahead and say v'yal anisa v'bechas hamozem. Now there's a question, if I forgot, if I have a suffix, must I once again bench again? That's the Gemara in Brachos, but the Gemara says that the reason why one would not be chozer, because if there's no chiyav, there's no obligation. The Mishnah Berurah brings the machlokes achronim and writes safik brachos lahokel. That's how we pass on the halacha. We're not chozer if we miss the Alanisim. I stress the Vav. That's why Salvezi was not to say. That's how the Mishnah Berurah paskins with the Vav. I mentioned a number of times. Anyway, you see, there's a Chiyav according to the Mishnah Berurah. And everyone should have a Suda that has bread that's preceded by Hamotzi and followed by Bichas Hamazon. And one should say, obviously, the Alanisim. You know, you're not Chosin, Machmas Sovek, but still, you're not Yotzi, the Chiyav, Bichas Hamazon, and Kuli Alma. It's a Takonis Chazal to say the Alanisim. There's a question whether one has to eat meat in the Suda of Purim as well. Must it be a Suda of Basar? So Shulchan Aruch writes in Safrei Sadek Vav Siv Zayin that Onen, normally a person Chas V'Shalom who loses a Korah where he's Mechuyah to be Mesabel before the Kvura is called an Onen. An Onen is also Basar V'Yayin, that's a Pasuk Chumash, Lo Achalti B'Oni Mimenu, Lo Be'ati Menu B'Tome. So here the Shulchan Aruch writes that Yesh Mishomer, that Onen is Mutter B'Basar V'Yayin on Purim, that an Onen does eat Basar and drink wine because his asay of Avelus, in effect, lo asi asay diyochid Avelus to be dochid the asay derabim daraisel smach bapurim because divrei Kabbalah are like divrei Torah. So apparently, there's a chiyah to go and eat basar. The Rambam says so very clearly. The Rambam, the second parak of Hilchos Megillah, Halacha Tezbar writes, Ketzad chova suda zo sheocha basar. The Rambam speaks about eating meat, and of course, this is the Rambam Mishitasim and Hilchos Yom Tov and Parak Vav Halacha Yidches. The Rambam says that Ein simcha el basar v'yayin. Even though the Mechaber does not subscribe to that, the Gabi Yom Tov, because of the Bi'a Alocha and other poskim who point out that we have no Psar Shlomim today. But whatever the case is, that Purim, it says Mishnah v'simcha. That's what our Pabaranchi points out in Emek Bracha. And therefore, since it says Mishnah, Yain is obviously embedded there. And simcha, of course, refers to basar. And many actually are medactic. The Magen Avraham already asked the question that Yom Tov also has a chiyuv of simcha. And yet we know that we don't have Psar Shlomim, so there's no obligation to eat basar per se. And the fact is that the Prima Golem says, even according to Magen Avraham, who says on Yom Tov, there's no obligation. But however, in Purim, there is a chiyuv of basar. So it would seem that that's the right thing to do. And one cannot be yotze with Psar Of. With chicken, one is not yotze, but only with Psar Behema. The Gemara says in Chagigo, and Av Chesem Abeis, regarding the chiyuv Simcha on Yom Tov, Yochal Af Ofos. And the Gemara indicates is that Psar Of does not bring about a state of simcha. However, the poskim are going to have Shmuel Vozner Zatzal and the Shevet Alevi passing the halacha. If someone has difficulty eating meat of an animal, so he can be yotzi with chicken as well. There are more rites in the famous din, which somehow became the most important din in all of Hilchos Purim, that Chayav Adam, as the Gemara said, Lipsume Bepuraya, Ad Lo Yoda Ben Arahama Le Baruch Malachai. And the Ramah writes in Tofrei Sadekesiv Beis, V'yeshomim dein tzorech lehishtakir kolkach. There's no mitzvah to become totally inebriated, completely intoxicated, but rather, what should one do? Yishta yosim echnei limudah, drink a bit more than one is accustomed to drinking, v'yoshein, and go to sleep. When a person is sleeping, obviously, you won't be able to distinguish between Arahaman and Baruch Mordechai. The Mishnah Berurah quotes here from the Prima Godim, Shekein Roy Lassos, and the Bi'a Alocha brings from the Chayadim and from others. If a person himself knows that as a result of Shichrus, as a result of intoxication, that will impact him to such an extent that he'll be Mezalzel in mitzvahs, he won't wash his hands, he won't bench, he won't daven, mincha, mariv, etc. He'll be noy, bekalas rosh, mutav shelo yishtaker. Better not to become drunk, better not to become intoxicated. This is not an easy mitzvah to do, l'shem shamayim, even though it's one that people enjoy, but to do the Shem Shamayim, I mentioned already in the context of this discussion that we know very well if a person often sometimes can go and behave in a fashion which is unruly, which is distasteful, a person can, God forbid, even cause damage to other people's property or to other people's person, muto shelo yishtaker under those circumstances. There's a lot to say about this. Maybe I'll just make a comment or two, if I may, since I'm already in the Pasha. The Gemara has the Megillah Daf Zayim, the famous statement of Rava that we just mentioned. The Gemara actually uses the expression of libsume. The word libsume comes from the word bosem, libasem. Rashi says lishtaker b'yayin. But then the Gemara relates a famous anecdote that Rabbi and Rav Zera ate their Purim Suda together. Rabbi became intoxicated, and the Gemara says shachter the Rav Zera. He slaughtered Rav Zera. The following day, Rabbi prayed to Hashem, and Baruch Hashem, Rav Zera was resuscitated. The following year, Rabbi asked Rav Zera, "Would you join me again for the Purim Suda?" And his response was, "Not every moment does a miracle occur? And those Rav Zeir refused to dine with Rabbah in the second Purim because ain't somchan al anes, you can't rely on miracles. So the question is whether we take the term shachteh literally, Rachman al-Itzlan, that he slaughtered him. So there are those who don't take it literally, the Mashah and Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, but there are those who interpret the Gemara literally. The Baal Amor quotes Avin of Ephraim, understood the Gemara literally, and assumes the anecdote of a slaughter that falls upon the heels of the normative halacha of Ad Lo Yoda proves conclusively we don't pass like Rabbah, and it's not proper to become intoxicated on Purim. So as I mentioned, the Ramah says, I want you to drink a bit beyond his norm and fall into a state of somnolence. And the Mishnah Berurah, as I said, is troubled by the distinctive aspect of this mitzvah on Purim, which runs counter to the entire ethos of Chazal that disparages drunkenness. And the Chafetz Chaim again points out, because the miracles of Purim occur through the medium of the parting of Vashti, Esther, and Haman, we become inebriated. But again, if it will lead to any negative consequences, so wanton drunkenness is absolutely unconscionable. And as I mentioned on Shabbos, actually, in my shul, those that are Gedolei Yisrael, so Nichnas Yayin, Yatzah Sod, Tzad Hashem Nireyav. What comes out, as I mentioned, Agoin Rav Avigdor Lebensel Shlita, I've been there many times on Purim, on Tesvav, and what he does is he composes gramen on the spot, which are woven with psukim and Tanakh and Mamor Chazal and Rashi and Tesis and Mishayim. That's what he does. And I provide Yimis Yayin, Yatzah Yayin. So it's not exactly Tzad Hashem Nireyav that emerges, but it's a different kind of perspective. The Briskov, Hagoyin Rav Yitzchak Zeif Soloveitchik, Zatzal Rav Soloveitchik, often quoted his uncle, and it's mentioned by the Emek Bracha, by our Pomeranchik, a Talmud of Briskov, that he distinguished between the Simcha of Yom Tov and the Simcha of Purim, because the Rambam codifies in the sixth chapter of Hilchos Yom Tov, the Dinim of Simcha and Yom Tov. He defines the mitzvah as one that mandates an inner joy, even though practically its manifestation is a function of that which gladdens a particular person. The Gemara has in a few places in Shas that you give children nuts and candies, women are given jewelry, men are given meat and wine. In other words, the Maisa Mitzvah, the practical performance of the Mitzvah, exhausts itself in diverse items depending on the individual. But the Kiyama Mitzvah, the inner fulfillment of the Mitzvah, is a Kiyam Shebalev. In other words, the essence of Simcha is to rejoice before Hashem. Meat, wine, and clothing and candies are only a means to that transcendental end. Usually I joke, the Gemara speaks about giving children clothes where it goes in. I think we've raised the ante considerably today. You probably have to buy them Trans Am or something like that. It's beyond that which the Gemara speaks about. And there's a medrash, the medrash Yashim, that often the Pesukim bring down, Zeh Yom Asa Hashem Nagila B'Nitzvah Bo. So the medrash has the kasha, Zeh Yom Asa Hashem Nagila B'Nitzvah Bo. This is the day that Hashem has wrought. Let us be happy and rejoice. And now what is the bow? In him or in it? Is it in Hashem or in the day? So the Medrash says that rejoicing is in him, and Hashem is Baruch Him. Our country, the Simcha, says Briskov, stands Purim, where the essence of the Simcha is the actual partying. That's why Chazal enacted the law of the Psume. And the Rambam in Perek Vav Hilchos Yom Tov, he points out very clearly, when a person eats, drinks, and is happy on Yom Tov, he should not be drawn after wine and thinks that by indulging or overindulging, he'll intensify the mitzvah of Simcha. And the Rambam writes there very strong, very graphic language. He points out that drunkenness and kalosrosh and excessive levity and laughter don't constitute simcha, but it's essentially boisterousness, foolishness. We're not commanded. We're commanded in the simcha that's accompanied by avodas hayotzer, avoda besimcha. So it's self-evident the thrust of simcha and yomtov is preeminently simcha sanefesh. And the means to that end is by eating and drinking. Again, as I said a moment ago, the Maisa Mitzvah is eating meat and drinking wine. But the Kiyama Mitzvah is this inner sense of standing before Hashem is Barach. Of course, even on Purim, the Meiri says that we should not be boisterous, we shouldn't be silly. The Simcha has to lead to Avodas Hashem. As I said, the Brahman is where the Nichlas Yayin Yatsa Sov. The wine is imbibed and the secrets come out. So if the secrets are secrets of Torah and Yar Shamayim and the like, that's a great barometer for a person's love and Avodas Hashem. And if it's something else, so obviously we are in trouble. Matter of fact, the Gemara has, it describes the Bayom HaShvik, the partying of Ahasuerus and his cohorts, which revealed essentially their shallow value system, their vapidity, drunkenness, and a state of intoxication were engendered almost immediately. And as a result, Chazal indicate that spontaneously there were all kinds of lascivious desires that emerged, which are represent a society that's founded exclusively upon sensuality and material overindulgence. Basically, we're surrounded by it everywhere we go. But in sharp contrast, the Gemara says, stands the drinking and eating of a Jew on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Gemara Megillas Akasha, and that Pasuk, I believe it's in Daf Yud Beis, Bayom Ashri Ketov Lev HaMelech Bayoyim. When the heart of the king was sated with wine, yes, the Gemara, what? Till now, it wasn't sated with wine. We're talking about the individuals who are essentially perpetually drunk, 24-7. So the Gemara says, it was Shabbos, and Klal Yisrael eat and drink on Shabbos. However, we begin with Divrei Torah and Shir V'Shevach to Hashem is Barach. But the idolaters, the Goyim, they eat and drink. They begin with words of tiflus, immodesty, with words of vulgarity. And so you can essentially, I heard from HaGoyim Ra'avam HaKoyim Pam Zatzal Rashi V'Tar V'Das many, many years ago, decades ago, he pointed out the following. An inebriate, someone who's drunk, can be judged by the end product of his drinking. If what emerges are words of Torah and Shevach to Hashem is Barach, that's a clear sign that he internalized the Torah Velcham. If what emerges are profanity and immodesty, it's a sign of what in Yiddish we would call apustakeli, an empty, vapid utensil. And great Torah scholars on Purim were known to have drunk and subsequently regaled audiences with Chidushei Torah, as I mentioned earlier, in the name of Rav Levin Sol Shlita. I saw this also in my Rebbe, Agoyin Anisim Alba Zatzal. That on Purim, wow, he was mechadish beyond what he did on a normal day. And he was busy saying, Shevach v'edot to Hashem is barach. That's the Sod Hashem Nireyav. Unfortunately, many in our generation see Purim as a, how shall we call it, an orgiastic opportunity for drunken revelry. And as a result, they stumble and they falter. And what emerges from their drunken stupor and depression is a chilul Hashem, a sign of their shallowness and vapidity. And I would say, on them, you could say, Ula simcha mazu osa. Well, the Pasuk says in Gaelus, what's the nature of this simcha? Or what's the nature of their ailment? Even better said. And that's exactly what the Chazal are telling us. That simcha is pathological, is non-Jewish in origin, doesn't even have a shmek of Torah. It's wild, orgiastic behavior. And the avoda of simcha is far-reaching, unquestionably a very significant avoda. So I think I saw once the Chazon Ish write a letter to a student who suffered from bouts of depression. He told him, let your heart cling to simcha. Through simcha, wisdom will take root, unquestionably. So what's the barometer? How do I know whether I'm engaged in genuine simcha or not? So here I'm quoting my Rebbe HaGoyin, Avraham HaKoyin Pam Zatzal. I heard this from him probably 55 years ago. He quoted a Gemara in Maikotin, that the Gemara says that in the wake of the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, they went home, smeichem b'tovi lev. They were thankful of what Hashem had bestowed on David HaMelech and Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara derives from the word smeichem, Miziv Ashchina. They were happy from the luster of the Shechina. How does one know if it's an authentic Simcha Shal Mitzvah or not an authentic Simcha Shal Mitzvah? The answer is that if the Simcha engenders an Aliyah, a Hisrom Musanefesh, a sense of elevation, I feel spiritually that I've ascended, and it's an enduring impact that lingers on for a protracted period of time, that's a sign of genuine Simcha. If, however, the result of gaiety is a hangover for 3 days, I don't daven, I don't function, I don't perform mitzvahs, I don't learn, I simply suffer from this hangover, then obviously it's a vacuous experience devoid of any significance and perhaps even has negative consequences. I think I mentioned once before, I heard from a Goyin Ademisol Shlita in the name of a Goyin Hashem Zalman Oyebach Zatzal, that Chazal tell us, the pasuk at the end of the Megillah, that Hayom Ma'elu will remain, Lo Yosef, will never go away. The Yom Tov of Purim will be extant, even the Yemos HaMashiach, as opposed to the other Moedim, they'll be rendered null and void. So Shlomo Zalman said, there's one element of Purim that won't endure. That's the mitzvah of Ad Lo Yoda. Because the obligation to drink is founded upon the fact that we have many tzaras in the world that impede our ability to achieve the simcha of Ad Lo Yoda unless one becomes inebriated. With the advent of Yemos HaMashiach, we will achieve the level of Malar Zeres Hashem, obviating the need for Ad Lo Yoda. That's a fascinating chiddush. But anyway, Hayotzi Mikol Dvareinu, I sort of was a little bit, shall we say, lengthy over here, because I want to stress the importance of being Samech on Purim and being merry and thanking Hashem for all the good he's done for Klal Yisrael and recommitting ourselves to Kiyum of the Kiblu, the Kabbalah Sater, the Chazal sitting on Shabbos and Gemara Makis. But certainly one should do so in a proper kind of way. There are many halachas that relate to eating and drinking on Purim. The corona will clearly, in some respects, limit our ability to travel from place to place. So perhaps I won't go into that aspect of things. There's a question regarding Dafka Yayin. People ask me, what about whiskey? What about Shad Ram HaMashakrim? Can I drink other bad? The Shulchanoch actually don't indicate that there's Dafka Mitzvah to drink wine. Rashi says in the Megillah that I mentioned a moment ago. Rashi says, Lepsumi Lishtaka B'Yayin. Apparently, that is the ideal. And also, I saw from other Rishonim, the Rokeach writes like that. He writes that Yarben B'Mishta HaYayin. And that's what's quoted by the Radvaz and by many other Poskim as well. They bring this element of wine because that's what's cited by Rashi, and that's what one should try to do in terms of the Kiyum HaMitzvah regarding the Suda Purim. The question whether one, again, this is someone asked me this question. Unfortunately, sometimes people have a Suda Purim, and because they somehow overdosed on the drinking wine, then sometimes the Suda can emerge in the wrong direction. And now the question is whether one has obligated to make a bracha achrona, was one yotzi the chiv of Sudas Purim under those circumstances. Regarding the bracha, the Shari Tshuva quotes in Simon Reish Ches, Sifkot Nalav, name of the Bikur Yosef, that a person who ate peros, kashir bracha achrona, and shuv hekiyam, should not make a bracha achrona. It's no worse than the issue of Nisakel. I'm not really discussing this halacha in its fullest length and breadth. I'm just mentioning the din regarding this particular matter. So we have here, as I said, a number of halachas, and one should be careful that one of Zosi B'Simchas Purim, this year it will be limited because there's no din of Paris Mapa Makadish Lefi Rova Poskim, and therefore one will complete the Suda before Shabbos. One should begin early in the morning before Chatzos or before Shua Siris. And in general, there's a din regarding people who become shikar as far as benching, as far as davening, as far as being mitzarech them, l'minyan asara. Maybe I'll just mention very briefly. It's also a complicated area of halacha that has to be looked into carefully. The Gemara speaks about two different levels of shichus, shichus of shalot, shichus of shonoach. If one came to the madrig of shichus of shalot, which means that he has no das whatsoever, so he has the din of a shaita, he's actually potter min hamitzvahs. If he davens or he does any other mitzvah b'shichuso, he has to do it again when his when the wine will dissipate, and he can't be mitzarif him to a minyan. That's the one level that we are talking about. A second level is someone who's nishtaker, where he's any ochel adaber b'fnei hamelech, which means he slurs. He's not able to articulate words in a clear kind of fashion, so he's not allowed to daven. Even this man tefillah is going to pass. If he davens, the Gemara says tefillah to'eva, he has to daven again k'shiyosi v'yeno. That's discussed in Siman Tzadik Tes. By Kriyat Shema and Brachos, there's a machlokes about his yaitzeh. The Mishaburah discussed it over there. The Kuli Alma, Chatchila should make a bracha if there's no need. He hasn't yet said Birchas HaMazon. Let him sleep a little bit and know that the wine should dissipate. But that's only if they're sheer equal. 72 minutes will not pass. The Mishaburah writes in Kuf Pei Hei, Chatchila better to bench before he comes to that. But yeah, he can go ahead and make a bracha. As far as being mitzarif him to a minyan, Mishaburah says in Siman Tzadik Tes, Sivkot Yud, namely, he should not be mitzur of the minyan asara. Could be for a Zimun, maybe he able to be mitzarev. There's a whole question about that. But the third level I just wanted to mention is a shikar sheshasu v'vias yayin, but obviously he's capable of being appearing before a king, in the davar tnei hamelach. So again, here he's able to go ahead and even though the chatchila shouldn't daven that day, but he can make all the brachas regarding kriyas shema as machlokas haposkim. And again, one has to go and examine all these matters to the extent that one can, and one should try not to get into a state of total drunkenness where one will behave in an inappropriate kind of fashion and be mezalzel regarding mitzvahs and the like. I mentioned earlier regarding vi al anisim, the Mishnah says in Tafrei Sadek Sukkot Tesvav, if I forget al anisim v'chas avazim, yesh omen de machzirin oso, since there's an obligation to eat bread, yesh omen de machzirin oso, v'sovek brachas lahokel. But atchila, one should be careful to make sure one says vi al anisim. And the Achronim say that even though if there's a suffix, I don't go back. However, that according to many Achronim, I'm not just the Chiyah Birchas HaMazon if I don't say Vi Al Anisim. And therefore, one should try one's best to be on top of that. And then there are a number of Pratim, which I'm not going to go into the details of this. There are a few other Minhagim HaPurim I just wanted to make mention of. There's a famous Ramon, Tafrei Sadek Vav Sivches. People actually masquerade on Purim, wear different types of dress. Often a man will dress as a woman and vice versa. And per se, since their intention is a simcha ba'alma, as long as I still can recognize their gender, there's no violation of the law in the Torah. The law in the Torah, where the Torah says, lo yeh kli gev alisha v'lo yeh bash gev asim asisha, the chinuch and other rishonim point out That's only when I cannot recognize the gender of the individual, male gender, female gender. And the interest is Simcha Ba'alma. The Mishnah Berurah actually quotes from the Yerodea, Simcha Kuf Pei Beis, it quotes from the Taz and the Bach, that Yesh Tovatel Minog Zeh. Because again, the Isur is Daftka when one does it with his Damos, where you want to be literally, you want to go ahead and mimic, or you want to somehow simulate a member of the opposite sex, of a different gender. And those who are matir, we find in Yerodea that if I do it, for example, let's say a man wearing women's clothing, it's freezing, and I need a coat, and a woman has a coat, I can put on her coat, it's not a problem, there's no Issa B'davar. Here also, it's being done because of Simchas Purim. And yeah, but that's the Mokum Lahokel, because it's being done Mishum Simcha. But still, again, as I said, sometimes they do such a great job that literally you can't recognize the gender. You don't know who's a male and who's a female. And that's a problem already al pi halacha. And this is discussed at great, great length by many of the Paskim. And as I said, that here, that the Ramah, who mentions this, and in effect, we're talking about the Iker Iser is Lehiz Damos. But where it's done, Mishum Simchas Purim, not Lehiz Damos, Yesh Makom Lahokel. Now, obviously, we're not talking about whether this is going to be a Chesaron of Tznius. There's no Heter whatsoever. That would not be permissible. The Mechaber writes that on Purim, one is allowed to do Malacha. Tafrei Sadik Vav Sif Aleph here, the Mechaber says, Purim, Mutar Basiyas Malacha. Mokom Shenog Shalol Aso Seinosim. Again, a person who does Malacha on Purim in Eroasim and Bracha is not going to, as a result of the Malacha, see any kind of blessing or prosperity. The reason why it's permissible to do work on Purim, the Gemara Megillah Daf Hey and Beis, that even though the Pasuk says in Megillah Esther and Perek Tes, Mishta v'simcha v'yomtiv, we will not mekabel upon ourselves isa malacha. We only mekabel upon ourselves mishta v'simcha, and therefore, that's the reason it doesn't say yomtiv, but there are places, and many places, annoying not to do malacha on Purim. Chazal clearly wanted to do malacha, so that's the proper thing to do, and that's what the Ramah writes. V'ha'idna nogu b'chol mokom shelo lasos. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, he quotes from Kadmonim, something very striking. The Aruch HaShulchan says that since this minog was accepted in Rav Tzvutzis Yisrael, so therefore, Chas V'Shalom, someone who does Malach on Purim, he'll be under the strictures of a Klala. So we see that one should try to avoid doing Malacha on Purim. I mean, there are certain Malachas that perhaps may be directly also what exactly the nature of that is, and he also needs careful examination. They talk about kibbutz, laundering clothing. They talk about tisporas and giluach, taking haircuts and shaving, cutting fingernails, et cetera, et cetera. But as I said, it would seem that it's not worse than, let's say, Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, the Mishnah in Makom Shenagu. That's Aser b'malacha me'ikra adin, but only malacha gemura. Again, I'm not, this needs a separate discussion, all these topics, because they're not so simple. I should also mention, again, regarding the din of chinuch, that a kodin who comes, we are mechanchim tanim in these mitzvahs, in the mitzvahs of the Rabbanim, and we should try in general that tanim shegir l'chinuch shiv mechachtem mishlach manos. We're not choshish matanos v'yon regarding tanim because they usually don't have their own money, and there's no inyan of chinuch per se. That I saw the name of the Kilos Yaakov, the stipler, in the Orchas Rabbeinu, he was not mechanch tanim in these mitzvahs, because the kodin doesn't have his own possessions, etc. And therefore, that issue was not did not come to the fore. It seems that lechatchila, one should try to do these mitzvahs I mentioned from the Shulchan Kodosh as early as possible in the morning, and that's my practice. It's been for many, many years, many decades, to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, Mishloach Manos, Matan Sevyon, Sudas Purim, and then one could have the major suda with one's family a bit later on in the day. And more or less what we tried to do in the course of this shiur was to sort of overview many of the halachas. Maybe I'll just mention one or two more items that came to my attention in the course of the last few days that people asked me about. So I'll just mention that as well. Someone asked me about the Kriya in the Kaisel Ma'arabi, going to Yerushalayim. The Gemara clearly indicates in Megillah, Daf Hei Amud Beis, that Purim has no Kedusha of Yom Tov. Kedusha basically is limited to the Shalosh Regalim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, have a Kedusha Hayom, have an inherent kind of sanctity. They're called the Yom Tov al-Pi Halacha. Purim is basically a Yom Chol with mitzvahs. There are many, many mitzvahs. And it's interesting that the Hagoyin of Moshe Feinstein, on the Igros Moshe, and Chelek Hei, Simon Chof, he comments on a Bir Alocha, who says in Simon Tafrei Sadik Beis, that once you make a bracha shechiyonim on the etzim al-yom, let's say I have no Megillah, so I make a shechiyonim on the yom itself. That's a chiddush gadol, because it would seem that shechiyonim is only made on the kedusha sayom, a day that has an inherent kedusha, which Purim does lechara does not have. And there's a machlokes in the Rambam, a Chabad Ramah, regarding shechiyonim on both times we read the Megillah. We pass in the Ashkenazim anoy to say shechiyonim both at night and during the day. But here the question is, making shechiyonim where I have no Megillah, there's no kedusha in order to make a shechiyonim. And again, so someone who comes to the Kesel Ma'arov Yom Purim, the question is, does he tear Kriya? So Abba Yashar passes Halacha, yes, he tears Kriya. And he paskins even that in the Shev Brachas on Purim, you need Panim Chadoshes. On Yom Tov, Shabbos, you don't need Panim Chadoshes. And yet he paskins that Purim, you require Panim Chadoshes. So that's also something which is very fascinating that was asked of me regarding this issue of Kriya and the Kesel Ma'arov. It's interesting that the, as far as what I mentioned earlier, in terms of the dinner of Simcha, that's Noeg on Purim, and the Gemara actually, and the Paskin talk about this issue. Namely, the issue of Gezel, or Mazik. Sometimes people can cause a lot of Hezek on the Purim. And this is discussed in the Sugya and Sukkah, and the Ramah, the end of Simon Tough Reis Sadik Vav, that people wear Kalayim de Rabbanon, what I just referred to earlier. A man will wear Simas Isha, Isha will wear Klegever, or people that engage in the following activity, Shechaitim Zemizeh, Derech Simcha, Ein Bezeh Mishum Lo Sigzol. So again, the head there seems to be based on the fact, as I mentioned, that because everything is done, the Shem Simcha. But that's not a simple head there, and one has to really examine the matter as carefully as one can in order to avoid doing anything that would be inappropriate and improper. So I'll abide that all of us should be Zoicha this coming Purim. It's a Purim Meshulash for those who live in the walled cities, in Yerushalayim and elsewhere, but everyone reads the Megillah on the same day. Halavai, we should be zeicha to a fulfillment, Bishlei Musa, that we should be a Yom of Sasam, B'Simcha, La'ihudim Ha'Yisrael, B'Simcha, B'Sasam, B'Kar, Kein Tiyalanu, L'Netzach Netzachim, Amen, G'Amen.